through there and having a good time. But I hadn't ever been stoned before since I came to school. And he said that he doesn't know yet, which is good because I hope he doesn't. Because, like, when I go up and sit with him and his friends when they're smoking or something like that, then, well, I showed him how to roll joints and all that. So I don't know why, not really to be big or anything like that. I don't know why I did it, but... I mean, they had the stuff there, and they just rolled these crappy joints, so I just showed them how to roll good ones, like you showed me. Oh, sorry about that. But they just can't figure out how come I'm such good friends with Dennis, and I never get stoned or drunk or anything like that. And they think it's really weird how I can freak them out. It's just because Terry and you freaked me out so bad. But, I've been doing a lot more art things this term. That just reminds me because I told this one guy that I drew a portraiture of him, but it didn't look like him, so I wanted to make him look like the portraiture, and then he couldn't figure out which was the portrait, him or the picture I drew of him. He was really stoned. So now people really do know that I'm an art major, for what it's worth. Let's see. Oh, I don't know what else to say. I've talked for 15 minutes. I wish so much I knew what you were doing and you were just here to see everything here. It's so weird. Portland is such a weird town because everybody is so far back, like in the 60s or something like that. And I don't know. And even at the college, it's so much like a monastery. I feel like it's worse than Davis when people come in and say, you don't know how isolated you are here in Davis. You really should get into the outside world. So what did I do? I came to a monastery instead. It's neat. but Anne, I don't know if I wrote you about the day that there were icicles hanging from the trees. Oh, it was so beautiful, and it was so freaky trying to walk to work because the crown was ice, and here, the hills, maybe you can remember, they're really steep, and the way that I go to work is just up and down, and it isn't so bad going down because you can just stand, try to keep your feet together, and just like you're skiing. Of course, I've never been skiing, so I don't know about that, but it's how I imagine skiing, and everybody thinks I'm really... done because I try to imitate skiers, but I've never been skiing, and they all have. Anyway, trying to get to work uphill, for a week afterwards, I've had nightmares about trying to get up, and I just can't ever regain my balance. It's so weird, the weather here, and everything. I just wish, if you're ever in Portland or anybody you know, then they can come stay here because. People are just sort of wandering in and out. Like, next week we're going to have Mary Sonicus, who's a pretty cool girl. She's also a friend of Dennis's, and she lives on our floor. And her mother's coming up for something more than a week and going to stay in her room. And then this other girl, that's a girlfriend of a Jesus freak, is going to be... I'm sorry I said that. His name is Brad, and he lives in San Francisco. And he was going to drive me home, except for his car broke last Christmas vacation. So he's nice. I'm sorry I did that. But his girlfriend's going to be here for 2 weeks. So anybody that's down there that wants to stay here, even if they're guys, they can stay on our floor. Because we have so much room. It's just like not like a penthouse exactly, but I've never been in a penthouse either. But there certainly is a lot of room, and they can stay here. It's easy to get to Lewis and Clark if you ask directions, not if you look at the map. The maps are all wrong, mostly. But they can come stay here. And I really hope that sometime you can come up here. There's this girl that's got a sign up, and I don't know who she is, but she wants a ride next week down to Ukiah or to Mendocino. And I sort of thought about calling her up and asking her if she was going to Redwood Valley. But I thought that would be a very poor idea, so I didn't. or if she could take something down to you, since it seems so weird that anybody up here would be even know where Ukiah is. But if you could just get a write-up for some time, you know, and it wouldn't cost you very much at all. Well, to go to San Francisco, it probably would have cost me, well, $7 in gas. But maybe if you came up with some other people, you know, and you were just, like, sort of like hitching, but not really, then it wouldn't cost that much to come up. Of course, you would have to get a ride back down again, which might be a little harder. Oh, but I hope you can come. You won't. I know you won't, so don't worry about it. It's just dreaming. But, let's see. Oh, I almost went to this Methodist place today, this morning, but I had a really bad dream about it. It was the same way, like, when I was going to your house. The night before, I would just wake up about every half hour, and then I'd sit up, and I'd try to figure out what was bothering me, and I just couldn't, and it was just that, I don't know if I ever explained that. I did a little bit over the phone, but I was really upset about something or other, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and I just couldn't go to sleep, and for some reason it was going to your place, and I don't know if it was so because I was so frightened of the things I had seen of Jim, your pastor, or my imagination or something. I was just, I was so upset, and the same thing happened last night. I just couldn't get to sleep because I wanted to go down to this place downtown. And so finally when I decided, you know, the same way I did at yours, well, let's just try saying to myself, okay, you're not going to go tomorrow. Just turn off your alarm. And I did that, and then I could go to sleep. And I didn't go. But it's this cool place downtown called Centenary Wilbur. And it has a church service once a week, but the rest of the week it's open for the community to go in and use. And they have a coffee house there, and the Gay Liberation meets there, and they have anti-war films, and they have folk dancing, and anybody else who wants to come and use their facilities. But apparently it's the only place like that in Portland, and hardly, well, anybody up here knows about it, of course, because when they do go down to Portland, which is quite rare, then they would never go any place like that. Like Dennis says, it's so freaky to be around people whose parents are millionaires, and everybody is so rich. Like, I don't know how Dennis ever got here. I really don't, except he has quite a bit of financial aid, and his father died, and so he's got all this income coming in from the government to pay, I don't know, when his father was in the army or something like that. But it's entirely different. It really makes me feel awfully filthy sometimes. And I can fit in pretty good, except for the way of thinking, because my mom makes me all these nice clothes. And I keep thinking, you know, like, I really, if I were to pick out my clothes and if they didn't sew, then I wouldn't have all this crap hanging around, because it's really a burden for me to have to worry about my clothes and to worry about how I look and if I'm wearing nice clothes. Because I sort of, it was like a responsibility to my mother and my grandmother. But then I sort of get to thinking, too, that that's, I don't know, not to refuse their clothes. Like the one Christmas I told my grandmother that it was when I was much younger, I hope you think, but I got in a skirt for Christmas, and I told her, and she said, well, you're not happy with the skirt. And I said, well, I really don't want any more clothes. And it just crushed her. It really did. And it was something that she can do really well. And if someone said, I don't ever want you to take photographs again, I don't ever want you to do any drawings again, just because I'm tired of having them around, oh, that would be just tragic. It would be horrible. So I have a lot of clothes. But my mom's been really sick lately. And she does all these ridiculous things, like go to, I don't know, work outside in the Arboretum or something like that, and gets even sicker. I think this tape's running out again. That's telling you about my mother. She's sick. How's your mother? How's your father? How's your sister? How's Patricia? How's Carolyn? I meant Becky, the other sister, when I said dear sister. Because before I knew Becky better than I did Carolyn. Now I don't know Carolyn still, but at least I know who she is. So she's Carolyn instead of your sister. And I don't know. I wish to have... Oh, I could ask you how everybody was. I could list them right now, a little line, everybody I know, but I don't know very many people where you live. I wish I knew more about where you live. Because I don't think I'm going to come back here next year. Of course, we were all sitting around in a circle the other night, last night, talking about why we weren't going to come back. And Dennis isn't going to come back, he doesn't think. And Kathy's not going to come back. She's a National Merit student on financial scholarship, too. She's a very decent person. She went to the anti-war rally and started a recycling thing on our floor and things. She's not going to come back. And Mary is going to go to France and study. And, I mean, that's, I don't, everybody, it's so weird that everybody I know that I'm really good friends with isn't going to come back. And we figured, it's not that we have so much in common. It's just that we're all, don't have anything in common with the other people, and so we sort of group together. Oh, Anne, I didn't tell you hardly anything, and this tape is almost up. What am I going to do? Well, it's just a big BS tape, but maybe, I don't know, I can't imagine you having any free time. Oh, I could play you some more music, some Pete Seeger music. I'll stop with that, because this one fellow, this Jesus, I gotta say real fast, Jesus freak fellow, who's a good friend of mine and makes candles with me for the coffee shop, dedicated this song on their Jesus Freak radio station to me, and it was a Pete Seeger song, because I told him that Pete Seeger was the only guy I liked, and he knows that I'm not really part of their fellowship thing anymore, but he still comes to make candles with me. But I'm going to play some Pete Seeger now. Some of Mrs. Meyer's records that I borrowed.
Back in 1942, I was a member of a good platoon. We were on maneuvers in Louisiana one night by the light of the moon. The captain told us to ford the river, that's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in a big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Sergeant said, sir, are you sure this is the best way back to the base? Sergeant, go on, I forded this river about a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but just keep slogging, we'll soon be on dry ground. We were waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Sergeant said, sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nellie, the captain said to him. All we need is a little determination, men, follow me, I'll lead on. We were neck deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. All at once, the moon clouded over, we heard a gurgling cry. A few seconds later, the captain's helmet was all floated by. The sergeant said, turn around, men, I'm in charge from now on. And we just made it out of the big muddy with the captain dead and gone. We stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand. I guess he didn't know that the water was deeper than the place he once before been. Another stream had joined the big muddy about a half mile from where we'd gone. We were lucky to escape from the big muddy when the big fool said to push on. Well, I'm not going to point anymore, I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking, you like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're...
Oh,
deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep, neck deep, soon even a tall man will be over his head where. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
Melissa got an invitation from the big fool to go to his inauguration ball. And she was going to go, but in the end, after much persuasion, I don't know if what I said did any good. She voted for him, but she decided not to go. Okay, this tape is going to run out real quick, so I'm going to say goodbye. Oh, wait, I'll tell you about our logic class. We're analyzing Nixon's speeches, which is neat, cool. And I'm going to tell you about something I heard in the news about Vietnamese jails, about what the Americans are doing, because there's this one radio station that is really pretty good.